So we thank you and we honor you for that this morning, Lord. You are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. There's no other name that's higher than yours. No other name that's greater than yours. No other name carries more authority than the mighty name of Jesus. And you've given us that name. You've given us that name to be able to rule and have dominion in this world, Lord. So we take authority and we walk in dominion. We walk in authority this morning, Lord. We break open the kingdom of heaven this morning, Jesus. I thank you that you've given us the power just with the words that we speak, Lord, to tear down strongholds in the mighty name of Jesus. You've given us the power in our words to shout down walls that the enemy has built up in the mighty name of Jesus. You've given us with the very power of our words to change the atmosphere, to change our situations, to change people's minds, Lord. You've given us the seed of the word of God to plant in fellow believers, to plant in unbelievers, so that we can see growth, Lord. I thank you that it's not us that builds the house, but it's you that builds the house, Jesus. Your word says that if it's not the Lord who builds the house, then the labor is in vain, Lord. But I thank you that at His Tabernacle Family Church, the labor is not in vain, but you're the one who's building the house, Jesus. We just thank you and we honor you this morning, Lord. We prepare our hearts to receive what you have for us, Lord. But more than that, Lord, we want to give you the praise and worship that you deserve this morning, Lord. We lay aside every single fear. We lay aside every single anxiety. We lay aside every single thought that would raise itself up against you. And we praise you because you're worthy. We praise you because you're holy. We praise you because you're a good God. We praise you for your faithfulness this morning, Jesus. We lay aside everything that may have happened throughout the week, Lord. Every bad report, we just put it down at your feet because we believe the report of the Lord. 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 The report of health. The report of wholeness. The report of more than enough. The report of conquering. The report of victory, Lord. Every single promise that you've given your children, we take it into our hands, Lord, and we thank you for it, Jesus. We believe you and we accept every single promise and every good gift that you've given us this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus.
Darkness, my God, that
Even when I don't see it, you working. Even when I don't feel it, you working. You never stop, you never stop. You never stop, you never stop working.
Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working.
You never stop,
never stop, you never stop working.
Even when I don't see it, you're working.
Even when I don't feel it, you're working.
You never stop,
you never stop working. You never stop,
you never stop working.
Even when I don't see it, you're working.
Even when I don't feel it, you're working.
You never stop working.
You never stop,
you never stop working.
Waymaker,
miracle worker,
promise keeper,
light in the darkness,
my God. Darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker,
Waymaker,
you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop. Even when I don't see it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop.
You never stop working.
You never stop.
You never stop.
You never stop.
You never stop.
You never stop working. You never stop.
You never stop working.
You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop.
You never stop working.
You never stop.
You never stop working.
You never stop,
you never stop working.
You never stop,
you never stop working.
Waymaker, miracle worker,
promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God.
That is who you are, it's who you are. You are my strength. Jesus.
He's like no other. The kingdom, yours is the glory.
is the glory.
Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory.
Thank you for your Holy Spirit this morning. Thank you that your name is all powerful.
Amen.
God, there's nothing that you cannot accomplish.
Amen. Thank you,
Jesus, we thank you that right now we're in your presence. Where your presence is, there's fullness of joy, which means the things that try to steal it have to leave.
Amen.
God, we take authority over them in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
We declare, he whom the Son has set free is free indeed.
Amen.
For the glory of God. In Jesus' name, we just want to share a few testimonies with you. I hope you don't mind. Good. We got a call from our church from West Virginia. Great testimony. They're about a year and a quarter old, and they started building their new building like almost immediately as they opened their church. And God just started blessing. Souls coming in, people getting saved. And a man came to them. They were looking for someone to bulldoze the spot for the church building. And an unsaved man, actually found out later he was backslidden, unsaved man sowed his time, no cost. Went in there and prepped the whole property. And while he was there, the presence of the Lord flooded him in his bulldozer. And he rededicated his life to Jesus Christ. Isn't that awesome? About 2 months later, he went to the doctor, and the doctor said, you have advanced cancer in your lungs. You waited too long. There's nothing anybody can do. You are terminal. And he said, well, I'm going to fight the good fight of faith. And he started believing God and believing God. About 2 months ago, he looked at his wife and he simply said, I think I'm ready to go home. I'm tired. And they called the pastor, and the pastor said, come on down. We want to pray with you. So he got down to the church, and pastor laid hands on him in the name of Jesus. Cursed the foul cancer in Jesus' name. And he went back for a PET scan. And the PET scan came back, and the doctor came out and said, all I can find is one little dot on your lungs. Why don't you come back next year and we'll check things out again. All the cancer's gone. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And I just want to share, I really felt in first service that there were people that were on the precipice like that man was, of giving up because you've been fighting the good fight of faith and discouragement has set in, and you just really feel like you want to give up. And the Lord is saying, I am here.
Yes.
I am with you. Yeah. Even if you're in the middle of the fiery furnace, I'm right here.
That's right.
Even if you feel like you're in a lion's den, I'm right here. Don't give up. Don't give
in. Don't you give up.
Just turn your eyes back to me.
Yes.
I'm going to take you through the fire.
Yes.
Through the lion's den. Don't give up.
Amen.
Man, if that man had not reached out Pastor, imagine what the story would be so different. But when we call on the name of Jesus, so many awesome testimonies. We had a woman share this morning that her brother had been diagnosed with a very rare, aggressive cancer and had to go in for a surgery to biopsy. And they biopsied and they prayed and prayed. And the report came back from the biopsy that there is absolutely no sickness and no disease in his body. No need for chemo, no need for radiation. He was healed. Amen. So we also watched a video last night, the YouTube that we watched last night. There was a woman, and this is on the 700 Club. I love the 700 Club. They have miracle testimonies all the time. If you guys, I mean, we look them up on YouTube. I don't really know about
we're the YouTubers.
TV. We're YouTubers. So I think we've moved into maybe this generation at least. No, we're still behind the times. Okay, anyways, we were watching the 700 Club on YouTube, and this woman shared her testimony where she had been diagnosed with cancer, and the doctors came back to her and said, it's metastasized, and there's nothing we can do. There's just no more hope. You're going to die. And she really, again, was like, I'm going to fight the good fight of faith. You know, I'm going to stand in faith. And nothing changed. She was fighting and nothing changed, and she was very discouraged, and she was laying in her bed and she was in that discouragement, and she said she had a visitation from the Lord, and he took her to Jerusalem to the grave where he was buried, and he laid down on the stone where he was laid, and he sat up and he said, if I sat up, you can sit up. And then
it was cool.
He proceeded to get up and walk out of the grave. And he said, if I walked out of the grave, you walked out of the grave with me. You're not going Amen. To the grave. And it was incredible. She said a complete turnaround. She went and got scans done and no cancer at all Amen. In her body. Listen, there's power in the name of Jesus. Don't give up. Don't quit.
Don't give up.
Don't get discouraged. Just turn your eyes back Amen. To Jesus, because there's power in his name. Amen. Amen.
Isn't that exciting?
It is. God is moving today. Like, these are today miracles that are happening. I know it's not your life, but come on. It
you gotta rejoice.
Be.
Amen.
It should be your life. Amen. Awesome.
Praise the Lord. We got great things happening. And I want to take a few minutes to pray for our other campuses, if you don't mind. We want to pray for Canada. Trudeau was voted back in, and many of you might not keep up on Canada, but he is very anti-God. And actually, if you've heard of pastors being thrown in jail for opening their churches and having their churches open. And it's actually illegal to preach against homosexuality. The first fine is $5,000. The second fine is $50,000. Third fine, you go to prison. And so they've really taken an aggressive posture in Canada, and Trudeau being voted back in, the oppression of the church in Canada is going to increase, and we need to pray for them. Amen? Amen. Father, we stand in the gap for Pastor Phil and Sister Jamie, yeah, God, and for your church in St. John, yes. New Brunswick, Canada. Yes. Lord God, we pray for Canada in the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
God, we know that they need a turnaround. Father, we know the enemy is trying to steal your word out of the mouths of the men and women of God standing behind the pulpit. We ask in Jesus' name that the salt and the light will become greater and more powerful for the glory of God. That Jesus, you'll bring such a harvest in St. John, New Brunswick, Canada, that Father, there'll be no building available to house the amount of souls that will be saved. God, would you speak your blessing in Jesus' name? Amen.
Amen.
We also want to pray for, I'm sorry, dear.
I said awesome. Oh,
we also want to pray for Uganda. Uganda just opened back up. So we're going to be, I believe we're going to have voice going on over there. I want to send Pastor Chad, but I don't know if we could get him back. And so we're going to make sure that that church, can we pray for there as well? Yeah. Father, we pray for Pastor Isaac in the name of Jesus.
Yes,
God, as you're opening your kingdom, your church there in Uganda, we ask, God, that you will move in a mighty, mighty, mighty way. Father, that you'll bring great favor in location, but not just location, Father, in anointing, signs and wonders and salvations. Let there be a great harvest in Uganda for the glory of God, in Jesus' name. We want to pray for Mexico. And Campeche is running about 280 souls every week That's only a 0.25%. That's all they're allowed, 0.25%. And we need to pray for them. Merida, our church in Merida, still cannot open. The city of Merida is still closed. But Cancun, we just put a new pastor in there. They're already running over 100 souls. And so we need to pray for Mexico. Amen? Amen. Father, we stand in the gap for Pastor Jesus. Patricio in the name of Jesus. Father, in that church, Lord, in Mexico, Lord, we stand behind them and we release the anointing for them, God. Oh, God, do great and mighty things. Lord, let Campeche have such a revival that, Father, it will just transition the entire city for your name's sake. Lord, move in Cancun. Father, we pray for even drug lords to be saved in Jesus' name. God, those that are part of the illegal portions, that God get saved in Jesus' name. Father, we pray for Merida that it will open, that God, you'll help us, Lord, to save that city for your name's sake, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We want to pray for Kentucky. God is moving there in a great way. They need a new building. West Virginia, that they'll finish their building. And we're just believing the Lord. Father, move. Father, on those pastors and their churches in the name of Jesus. God, bring more increase, more souls, more influence, God, for your name's sake, in the name of Jesus.
Mansfield and Ithaca. Ithaca is finishing up their renovation project. They are $90,000 away from having all of the funding that they need. And
Amen.
They have 2 months for that to come in. God has brought in over $230,000 so they can pay cash for everything that's happened since April. So God is moving there. Mansfield, we want to keep both of those campuses in prayer. Father, we just send your ministering angels, your power to be released on those campuses. Father, we call in the $90,000 in the next 2 months, that it'll be accomplished and finished with excellence, Lord. We just thank you so much. We know that you can bring it in from the north, south east, and west, from unexpected places, Lord. And we just pray a blessing of the power and the supernatural over that campus and what's going on there.
Yes.
We pray for Mansfield, Pastor Dan and Jody, Lord, that you would just blow fresh fire in that place, Lord, that revival would start to break out even in Mansfield, Lord. We just thank you for it, Jesus, in your precious mighty name.
If I could have the Jacksons come forward, please. We want to pray. We have a new campus
Pastor
starting.
Helen.
Grab me the oil. We have a new campus starting in Winter Haven, Florida. And starting in January, if you guys can come right up on top. Amen. If I could have you just stand right here.
They weren't warned. They have no warning.
Well, Pastor Randy's been down this week working on finding a building. Father, in the name of Jesus. Ooh, Father, I thank you for the anointing.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, there it is right there. Father, in Jesus' name. We lay hands on no man suddenly. Lord, the laying on of hands and the releasing of the anointing to move forward, God, and do greater works than they've ever done before for your name's sake.
Hallelujah. Jesus.
We call forth a building right now in Winter Haven in the name of Jesus. God, let it not be just a... God's
Hallelujah.
Moving right there. Not just a building, Jesus, but a supernatural building that we'll have to stand back and say, just like in Ithaca, wow. God, we declare the things to be sold on this end. And Lord, more money than we know what to do with to launch that thing with such power, such anointing, that Lord, people who are coming in, Father, having their lives transformed by you. So we release the anointing.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you. Only just begun. I love you. Only just begun.
Thank you,
Amen.
Jesus.
Now let's pray for this house. Father, we want 1,000 souls by Christmas. Every single Sunday in the building.
Thank you, Jesus.
God, you have more than enough souls in this whole region. For souls, oh God, that are still struggling, Lord, that used to come here. We ask God for great harvest for your name's sake. Jesus, we're here to serve you in your kingdom. Today is a monumental day in the Spirit.
Hallelujah.
And Lord, we shift things right now. Lord, those, God, that don't want to run, we know God will walk away. Father, in these days, in these last days, we ask the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers. And we put our hand to the plow, we'll not look back, and God will see such a great outpouring of your Spirit.
Thank you, Jesus.
That the church will not become minute,
thank you,
but the church will become mega.
Hallelujah.
That, Lord Jesus, your name will be exalted. For the glory of heaven, in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Did you want to tell that other miracle? Cookies.
Oh, yes. That was so awesome. We have a wonderful young lady.
That we call her the Cookie Lady.
She delivers cookies to our first-time guest, and it was incredible this past week. We had actually, let me rewind, we had done a teaching on laying on of hands and rock-solid faith and encouraged people to do
that. Don't miss rock-solid faith.
Well, she had never had the opportunity to do that before, and so she went to deliver cookies to this house, and the man came out and asked her if she would come in and lay hands on his wife, who was in great pain and was really struggling. And so the boldness of the Holy Spirit just flooded her, and she went in and she laid hands on her and prayed for her, and she was raised up out of that. She said the pain went away.
Amen.
She came to Rock Solid Faith this Tuesday night and testified with her whole family that she was healed from the laying on of hands. So thank you, Nicole. We appreciate you so much. God is using his
yes.
body if we're willing and obedient. That must have been absolutely terrifying.
It's
for
fun,
your
though,
first
isn't
time.
It? It's really fun.
But when you're obedient and you see the results of the Lord, it is so incredible and so exciting. So yes, God is moving in this house and through every single one of you. You lay hands on the sick and they will recover.
Amen. Well, you may be seated. We're not going to do meet and greet this morning because it is already 10 of noon.
Oops. Oh yeah, but we should do the tithe. Because in this house, we love to give. Amen. The tithe is not something that we've made up. It's something that's in the Word of God. You can find it in Malachi 3. It says, bring all the tithe into my house. This is what the Bible says, not what we've made up. And even in Matthew, I know people like to say it went away with the Old Testament church. It's no longer a part of something we have to do. That is not in the Bible. Find me that scripture. Nowhere does it say it. Actually, in Matthew, Jesus in red letter looks at the disciples, the New Testament church, and he said to them, you tithe, this you ought to do. So the Word of God tells us to tithe. And in this house, we get excited about tithing, because what that does is it takes our money out of this natural realm and it puts it in the supernatural realm, in the supernatural hands of an almighty God that will prosper you and will make a way where there is no way. So when we tithe, we're making an open heaven, Malachi says. You walk under an open heaven. That means nothing will be withheld from you. Nothing will be held from you. But you can't expect it if you're not obedient to the Word. And so in this house, we love to give. We get excited about giving. If you're ready, stand to your feet. We're going to make our supernatural declaration. And this is simply the Bible. It's found in Deuteronomy 28, which he says his word goes forth and it has to perform. It does not return void. So we're going to declare the Word of God over your finances. And guess what? We just believe that it has to perform. He's going to, man, you got some stuff you're facing this week. It's got to perform. It will not return void. So let's get our money, our tithe, our seed, and let's declare the Word of the Lord over our finances. Lord, your word says, if I obey, then I am blessed going in. Oh, this way. I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse. And I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. And I'm blessed. Tithes and offerings to the Lord. If you're watching via live stream, don't miss out. Give right along with us. You can text to give or go on the website and click the giving button. You go ahead, make your way. I just want to greet all the guests in the house this morning. We have a connection room right down this hallway. It's one of the first doors you come to. We would love to get to meet you and say hello. We have some refreshments in there. Maybe you're not a first-time guest, but you've never actually connected with us. We would love to invite you to come join us and connect with us in the connection room immediately following the service.
Amen. Isn't she beautiful? She really is beautiful. She's smart. She's cuter than I am. She can preach really, really well. Amen. Well, I've got great news for you. I said, I got some great news for you. Wow, that was not bad. I said, I got great news for you. Do you not want great news? I said, I got some great news for you. Amen. I got good news that you are not of this world, even though we live in this world. We are not governed by this world. We are governed by the kingdom of God. We are not tethered to the natural, except in our physical body. But the Bible says the supernatural will invade the natural, and that God can transition and change and transform everything we touch. So today I've got good news for you. As things are unique in our world today, can I hear an amen or oh my? This is going to be a week that is going to challenge many people. So I want to talk about it. I think it's important to talk about today. We've had the pandemic. For about 18 months, things have literally changed in the entire planet. You know, amazingly, in 18 short months, everything we saw as normal is now not normal. Everything we lived, everything we breathed, how we lived, how we interacted, how we loved, everything changed in 18 months. And a lot of people saying, well, when are we going to get back to normal? I don't know if we'll ever get back to normal. But what I do know is this, is that the kingdom of God is already normalized. The kingdom of God is already stabilized. The earth is not, because the earth is rushing towards the end times. But you and I, as the kingdom of God, we are not unstable. We have a solid rock that we stand on, and his name is Jesus. We've had now mandated vaccines. Man, I can't tell you how many people from healthcare have been coming to me. Can't tell you how many government people have been coming to me saying, Pastor, I'm really concerned. I'm going to lose my job this week. This week is a big week. I was talking to an individual in healthcare up north in New York. And the hospital they work at is getting ready to close two whole wings of the hospital because there's not enough help. Was talking to another healthcare group, and they're going to be letting, I think, 7% of the people go because they're not going to get the vaccination. 7% is over 200 healthcare workers. We're going to see a change this week in this world like we have not seen before. America is going to change this week. America is going to become destabilized this week. But I've got great news for you. Even though the world we live in might be destabilized, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Can I hear an amen? Amen. So it's important to know that as our world shifts, you don't have to topple. Now, in the old days, we used to have this thing. It's called weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. Anybody ever seen one of those things? How about, did you ever see one of those top rocks? you know, these big, what it was, it was like a Bozo the Clown, and it was a big balloon, but on the bottom had all the sand, so no matter how hard you hit it, it would always come back. I want you to know that that is who you are, that no matter what the devil seizes against you, no matter how difficult it might be, you will always bounce back up, because Jesus Christ, he will quicken your mortal body by that same spirit. That God who dwells inside of you is the resurrection and the life. We don't have to stay down. We are the church. We always stand up, and we are the salt and the preservers of this world. Everything is going to get unique, from the lack of workers to school teachers that are now really in a position where they're going to have to choose their vocation or walk away, where now children are being masked. I don't know if you saw that one where they tried to mask a 3-year-old child, and it was so horrific watching this child having to be masked up, and they just didn't know what to do with themselves. They were afraid of the mask. We're watching as all of this is unfolding in the America that we love. And it's amazing, as the church, I've watched something happen which is horrific. I've literally watched people in the body of Christ surrender their peace because of a problem. The problems are real. They're very genuine. These things are actually happening. But if you are a healthcare worker or somebody that is choosing not to get vaccinated, if you're a tither, you can trust that God has to take care of you. Now, I want to reiterate, like I did last week, we do not allow prejudice in the church. Let me explain what I'm talking about. If you are vaccinated, it is not a sin to be vaccinated. It is not a sin to not be vaccinated. You and I do not pit each other against each other because we're vaxxed or unvaxxed. Amen. We are the body of Christ. Amen. They are your brothers and sisters. Amen. And if they choose whatever they choose, that's their choice. And thank God it may not be your body, but it's their body. And you treat them with honor and respect. Can I hear an amen or oh my? We will not allow prejudice. I already saw it start to rise. Well, they're not vaxxed. Well, they are vaxxed. Listen, I don't care if you are or you're not. What's amazing to me as a pastor is if Jesus ever wrote about vaccinations in the Bible, I'd preach it. But he hasn't, so I preach the Bible. Amen. Amen. I said amen. Amen. So we are not going to slide into this prejudice process that the world is trying to do and divide with. We are the body of Christ, and we are different. Turn to someone and say, you sure are different. We might be different, but we are the same body. Can I hear an amen? Amen? And we respect each other and honor one another as Jesus told us to. That I want to hear an amen to. Amen. So whether your family's in turmoil, whether you're dealing with your job situation, whether you're dealing with a bad doctor's report, I want you to know something this morning, that you have to determine in your heart that you will never give your peace up for nothing and nobody. Can I hear an amen? I am not giving my peace up. You know, my wife and I, over the last 3 years, has been kind of adventurous. We'll use that terminology. 3 years ago, I was sitting in the house, and as I'm sitting there, my dog starts to bark at the sliding glass door. My wife was coming back from Houston, and she was going to land at midnight. It's probably 11 o'clock at night or so. And as I'm sitting there, I said to the dog, "You need to shut up, because I'm watching a TV show, and there's nobody in the yard, or the light would have come on." And so here I am, all of a sudden, the dog's really irritated and agitated. So I turn the light on, and I watch the water on the sliding glass door is about this high. Then it's about this high. Then it's about this high. Then it's rolling. I go by my front door, and it's rolling by my front door. I watched it literally pick up my 200-plus-pound grill and throw it like a toy with no problem. I've always wanted to live on an island before, and I will have to tell you in all honesty, that night, I lived on an island. My entire house was surrounded by a raging flood, and my house literally had $80,000 worth of damage. So my wife and I, we didn't live in our house for 3 months. We went from hotel to hotel, not because we wanted to change hotels, but because we're kind of known in the area, and people are weird. So we went to one hotel, and as we're at that hotel, they started calling my wife their boo. So my wife decides she's going to go in the back door so she doesn't hear herself be called the boo by the lady who's running the show. And she catches her one day and says, "Ah, you're avoiding me, boo." And we decided, time to move. Went to another hotel. Walked into that hotel, and all of a sudden we hear, "Celebrities, celebrities, celebrities." I mean, we just walked in the door. I just want to go to my room. So then a few nights later, I'm in doing the laundry, and I look down the hallway, and there's that same lady walking down our hallway, and she walks over to the door of our hotel room and puts her ear to the door of the hotel room. I figured it was time to move on. I want you to know that that was quite uncomfortable. And at the same time, my wife had just been diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer, to where they gave her 2 weeks to live. So now we don't live in our house. We have $80,000 worth of damage. Now my wife's being told she's going to die in just a few weeks. And then we have a man in the church decides that he wants to start his own church and take as many people from here as he can. So he goes down the street and does his thing, and for a year, the next year, year and a half, continues to cause issues in our lives. And at the same time, COVID hits. I want you to know something. We were literally confronted with a choice. We are either going to give up our peace that passes all understanding, or we're going to have to live in fear, curl up in a ball, and die. Usually just one of those things topples people's faith. But all at the same time, listen, it had nothing to do with that we were pastors. It had to do with that we had to make a choice that nobody is worth losing or giving up our peace for. Jesus gave it to us. No man has the right to take it away. No circumstance has the right to take it away. We will stand in faith, and we will walk with God, knowing that God is for us. Who can be against us? And God is on our side. We cannot fail. Every one of us are going to be confronted with literally surrendering our peace. What do you mean, Pastor, surrendering our peace? The Bible says that you have the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy. Start all over again. We have the fruit or the personality of the Holy Spirit dwelling in us because the Holy Spirit lives in us. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. We have love, joy, peace. Love, joy. Peace. So the peace that you have is not yours. The peace that you and I have as believers has been given to us by God. What is peace? It means there is a calm even in the middle of the storm. You see, we all want peace. It's easy to have peace when everything is going beautiful. It's easy to have peace when everything is going our way. But the real challenge is not surrendering our peace when hell is like licking our toes, when all the trouble that's happening around us and serious scenarios are confronting us. Do we choose to give up our peace, or do we choose to stand strong and keep what Christ has given us? It's all about, what are we going to do with the peace? Because the opposite of peace, listen, if you don't have peace, the only other thing you can have is fear. The Bible says fear is a tormentor. When you're not living in faith, you're living in fear. When you're not living in peace, you're living in terror. Waiting for the next shoe to drop, waiting for problems to arise, waiting for someone to come against you, waiting for the doctor's report, waiting. And all you're doing is constantly waiting in fear and trembling rather than standing in faith and in peace, knowing that the God you serve, listen now, it all comes down to the God you serve. Whomever you surrender to is truly your God. If you're surrendering to fear, then fear is your God. You know, it's been very interesting during this COVID scenario. As we have watched people literally allow fear to own them The fear of COVID has owned them. They're afraid to go places, do things, because COVID might be there. You can walk into the restaurant with a mask on, but you're safe if you sit down. One thing I found about fear makes no sense. That's the power of fear. Because fear means that you're afraid of something that has not even happened yet. You're putting more faith in fear than faith in a God who can change the natural situation. And we've got to make a chance. We've got to make a choice. Because when you come out of faith, you've got to surrender your peace. You know you're out of faith when peace isn't present. When all of a sudden a situation comes in your life and it's as real can get. And now you have no peace. Fear is more prevalent than faith. Then immediately you know that you have walked away and made another God. What do you mean made another God? Because whom you submit to is truly your God. So if fear is more powerful than your faith, then your knee has bowed to COVID. Your knee has bowed to a government. Your knee has bowed to a woman or a man. Can't tell you how many of those I've watched. Your knee has bowed to the doctor's report. Whomever you kneel your knee to is genuinely your God. And there's only one that can bring you peace. And his name is Jesus. Everything else is generated and works within the fear boundary. Well, this, I'm afraid of that. You ever seen somebody afraid of the most foolish things? You ever seen somebody afraid of bridges? I recently learned about a preacher who is afraid of bridges. It's a genuine fear for him. When he comes to a bridge, he won't cross it, but he'll fly in an airplane. Now, listen. He won't cross a bridge, but he'll fly in an airplane. Fear never makes sense. Because fear is not based in foundation. Fear is based in feeling. And when you base your life in a feeling that vacillates back and forth according to the circumstances and what you can see and what you can hear, then there's no way to walk by faith. You must walk by sight. And when you walk by sight, there is no stability, no peace in your life. You know, I look at all the things. It's interesting when you look back, you know what I mean? You know, hindsight's 20/20. When you look back at the last 3 years, and I look back and I say, you know, it'd be, I'm personally just amazed at where we are and how we've stood firm and how we've kept our peace. But we didn't do it in the big lump. We ate the elephant one bite at a time. But we made a decision, and the decision was that no matter what the doctor said, the peace was in the Word of God. No matter what was happening to our house and the crazy people in the hallway, that we'd still get up and seek God and praise Him and worship Him because He's a good God and greatly to be praised. When the man was doing all his fun stuff, I struggled a little bit with that one. But I had to come to a conclusion in my heart that nobody is worth giving my peace to. Amen. I refuse to surrender the peace of God that keeps me stable. I refuse to surrender the peace of God to a circumstance. I refuse to surrender the peace of God for a problem. I refuse to surrender the peace of God for my own offense. When you make that decision, then you are stabilizing your life. When you become offended, you automatically know you can't have peace. Why? Because you're in sin. Offense destroys the power of God. The moment you're offended, you can't be in peace, especially if they're in your presence. You're irritated by them, angered by them. That's why Jesus said, if anybody's offended, you need to go to them. Make it right. Whether they accept it or not, it doesn't matter. It's setting yourself free. Say amen or oh my. Amen. The disciples dealt with this. I'm almost done. About ready to read the text. Mark chapter 4, 35 through 41. We're just going to go through it quickly. I just want you to see it. That what you're going through is not a novelty for you. You know what's amazing is when we're going through our trials and tribulations, we always kind of introspectively believe it's just us. But I got good news for you. Even in the Bible, they've been through things even harder than you might ever go through. And they still made it out. Amen. As Pastor Rhonda said, you'll go through the lion's den. Amen. As Pastor Rhonda said earlier, you'll go through the fire and come out without smelling like smoke. But that's not a decision of God. That's our decision that says, I refuse to surrender my peace. I refuse to surrender my faith. I will walk by faith and not by sight. I will stand, and after doing all I can do to stand, I will stand. Therefore, I will not give my peace to anybody because they didn't give it to me and they can't take it away. Say amen. Amen. These are choices that we make. And as believers, especially in the tumultuous times that we're in, let's be honest. We're living in wild times right now. It's the greatest season for the church if you're stable. It's a horrible time if you're not stable. Because you're going to have to surrender your faith to fear. You're going to have to, if you're not going to trust God, that God is able to do abundantly above all you could even ask or imagine, that if you got God on your side, you cannot lose, that no weapon formed against you shall prosper, that you can know that if God has started it, he will finish it. Can I hear an amen? That God's love is supernatural and that it will penetrate every portion of your life. And no matter what struggles you're going through, you can walk in peace. Here in the book of Mark, it's talking about that. Now, I was going to let my wife preach because I'm a little hoarse this morning. But then I said, I have never not preached because I was hoarse and I'll never start. Remember, where you surrender is where the devil knows where to pick up for the next time. That was free, had nothing to do with the sermon. Mark 4:35. So some of you are struggling for me. Don't. I'm okay. Listen past the trouble. Not trouble, treble. Here we go. On the same day when evening come, Jesus said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Now when they had left the multitude, they took Jesus along in the boat as he was. What does that mean, as he was? I don't know. I'm going to look that up. And other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke Jesus and said to him, teacher, don't you care that we're perishing? Have you ever said that? God, where are you? Don't you care? Anybody else ever said that beside me? Okay, thank you for honesty. Honesty is such a lonely word. Then Jesus arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, why are you so afraid? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who is this? Who can this be? Who even the wind and the waves obey him? I want you to see the correlation that faith has everything to do with your peace. The problem was not the wind and the waves. The problem is they forgot who was in the boat. When it gets wild out, baby, when it gets like freaky, when all of a sudden all hell is breaking loose, when you're all out of control, come on now, you know what I mean? You're out of control in your relationship. You're out of control in your finances. You're out of control in your health reports. You're out of control at work. You're out of control. You're not even sure if you're going to get fired this week or not fired this week. You're not sure what's going to happen. It's out of control. But the problem is not that. The problem is, are you going to keep the faith or are you going to allow fear to be more powerful than your God? See, that's the dividing factor here. Jesus said to the disciples, we're going to the other side. Who's Jesus? Jesus is the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is God, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, three yet. Come on now, rock solid faith class. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, three yet
one.
Triunity of the Godhead. So now all of a sudden, Christ, God, said we're going to the other side. Man, these guys climbed in the boat. They weren't like novices. Man, some of them were. But you got at least four professional fishermen in the boat. These guys had been on the Sea of Galilee. It wasn't a big sea. It's not like, you know, it's not even as big as Lake Seneca. It wasn't massive. But a storm came that was so strong. Listen now, many of our storms come without us expecting them. I didn't expect that to happen. Of course you didn't. It wouldn't be a storm if you could control it. A storm is what actually sees what's inside your heart. A storm reveals where your faith level is. And we know that the Bible says that faith can be measured. He said to some, O ye of little faith. He said to others, O ye of great faith. And the disciples pray, Lord, increase our faith. But it's not until you have a storm, especially an unexpected storm, that comes to the place of actually sinking your boat, that you recognize whether you truly trust God and will keep the peace, or you'll go into fear and start flailing your arms. Do you know what the difference between somebody who drowns and someone who doesn't? If you don't know how to swim, hold your breath and stay still and you'll float. If you start flaring your arms out, you will automatically start sinking and you will drown and die. When you grab a hold of fear and allow it to become so powerful in your life, you're just flailing your arms because you're trusting your circumstance above trusting the one who is the creator of the universe. When you surrender your peace, you're saying, God, you are literally too weak to handle this situation, so I've got to handle this myself. And when you start handling something yourself that you don't have the capabilities to, you can't live in peace. And the disciples said, where are you, Jesus? Don't you even care? What are you sleeping for? How could Jesus sleep in the middle of that storm? It was simple. Because he said, we're going to the other side. What? Can't be that easy. No, it is that easy. Because if God says it, God can't lie. Do you remember Peter when he started walking on the water? Jesus told him to come. When he stepped out on the water, read it yourself. When he stepped out on the water, the winds were already loud. The waves were already big. That was not the problem that Peter had. He started walking on the water, and then he took his eyes off of Jesus. He took his eyes off the Prince of Peace. He took his eyes off the Savior. He took his eyes off the Word of God who said, come. And if God says to come, then I guarantee you, if you got to be a submarine, you're going to make it. He'll make a hovercraft if you got to, or maybe a little jet plane on the Sea of Galilee. But if God says you're going across, it don't matter how you get there, you're going to make it. So the key that Christ could sleep with is because He says, I only do what the Father's told me to do and go where the Father's told me to go. So the Father told him to get into the boat, go to the other side. That's why he had a surety and could sleep in the middle of the storm. There have been many times my wife and I have had genuine, real concern that could have overwhelmed us. But instead of being overwhelmed, we learned how to praise more. Come on now. What that does when you start to praise, your focus goes from the problem to the problem solver. It goes from the impossible. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It goes from death. I am the God that healeth thee. I've given you not only a promise, the Bible says in Hebrews 6, but I've given you an oath. You see, your peace can only be surrendered. It can never be taken. And we have to make a decision in this season that our world is in. It's probably not going to get much better. Let's be honest now. We're praying for reprieve, for more opportunity for harvest. But the truth is that if you think the governments that are there all over the world, it's not just our government, and I don't care who you think is behind the scenes, in front of the scenes, or over the scenes, I want you to recognize that the world has been running towards the end times since the fall of man. And here we are. We've got, God puts men in and God takes them out. He placed the man in position and we are running away from the things of God and running more towards the way of the world. And we've got to recognize something. We can't be shocked because Jesus is coming. I've never heard a prophecy about the rapture of the church that says, hold on, I'm going to give you an extra 100 years. It's get ready. It's coming soon. Jesus said you can look at the signs of the time and know. You literally have to put a bag over your head and earplugs in your ear not to know that Jesus is coming soon. Even sinners know it. They might not equate it that Jesus is coming, but they know something's messed up. The great part about being part of the church is it don't matter how bad the world is messed up. We are called to be stable, to live in peace, to not allow our peace to be given away or stolen. By the way, can't be stolen, given away to anybody. Jesus looked at him and he said this, what's wrong with you people? I'm in the boat. Who do you believe Jesus is? Remember he asked the disciples, who do men say that I am? Because that is the true girder of whether you're going to trust him and keep your peace or go into fear and go into panic and lose your mind. We've watched a lot of people lose their mind during COVID. And let me tell you something. If it's not COVID, there's going to be something else. If it's not COVID 1, COVID 2, COVID 3, 19, 20, 29, something's going to happen. And it's going to come to the place of the body of Christ to determine whether our faith is truly in Jesus Christ, whether we actually believe the Bible is true, or whether we're just good Christianettes that go to church on Sunday, throw George Washington in a plate, and say, I did my religious thing for the week. But I'm here to tell you that God is separating the sheep and the goats, and it's a time to get your faith established on Jesus Christ, not surrender your peace, not surrender your faith, but know that if God has said it, it don't matter what happens. It don't matter what man says. I'm going to the other side. When you know that, you can live in a place that others cannot. They look at my wife. They actually call it pulling a Rhonda Spencer at the hospital. She got to have an operation, and like a serious operation. It was supposed to be like a minimum of 4 to 6 months worth of recovery. And she said, I hope you know, doc, that I have a preaching engagement in like 2 weeks. And the doctor says, you can't do that.
She says, well, I got to. I already booked it. And they said, but you know, you shouldn't do that. And then the doctor turned and said, but we know you will. So come in 2 days before. We'll just make sure everything's lined up and then just go do what you want. She got on an airplane. She flew to Florida. She ministered to hundreds of thousands of people on Faith TV. And God used her in a mighty and miraculous way. Why? Because nobody can steal your faith. Nobody can steal your peace. Nothing is stronger than your God. And at some point in time, you got to make a decision in your own heart. Do you really want God, or do you just not want to go to hell? I don't want to go to hell either. But the fact is that that's not what this thing is about. And when you got saved, you die. Can you imagine that? If this was all about going to heaven, we give an altar call. If you'd like to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, please come forward. So about five people come forward, and they all drop dead. It's really hard to grow a church that way. It's not about you giving your heart to Jesus only, but God has you here because he needs you here. God's got a people that only you can reach. God's got a people that need to see your faith. God's got a people that need to see your peace. That when everything is going awry, when everything is crazy, when everything is going messed up, they can look at you and say, yeah, that's pulling a Rhonda Spencer right there. That's pulling a Rhonda Spencer. So the question is, where's your peace? And where's your faith? Isn't it weird? Watch this. Jesus gets up out of sleep and he walks over and he goes, where's your guys' faith? I mean, it was a real wind. Professional fishermen were afraid. Watch. The water was coming in the boat. Which means more water coming in the boat means you're sinking. Is the water getting in your boat? Is the fear starting to fill you? Or are you choosing to get a sump pump if you got to? Yeah. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I shall not be moved. Old song. I shall not be moved. I feel like Brother Ted. I shall not be moved. I'm just like a tree that's planted by the water. I shall not be moved. Sing with me. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the water. I shall not be moved. My son said, that's a new one. I said, no. No, it's not new. Just new to you. Question for you. Do you live more in fear or do you live more in faith? And some of you are facing this week. It's real. Monday or Tuesday, I forget which day it is. But some of you don't get a vaccination, they're going to fire you. You're going to lose your job. And you have to make a determination. If that's what you're choosing, that's what you believe God wants you to do, to not get the vaccination, then you are either going to comply to fear or stand in faith. But how am I going to make my bills? If you're a tither and a seeder, God is obligated to take care of you. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed out begging for bread. If you're a tither, he said he promises that he has to provide for you. So I'm here to talk to you. Real. You're going to meet people this week who are going to literally surrender their jobs for principles. Support them. But I'm vaccinated. Support them. Because this has nothing to do with vaccination. This has to do with conviction. And if they're convicted not to take it, they're as much a believer as you who took it. God doesn't love one more than the other. Say amen. Amen. So we love each other through. Yeah. And keep your peace. Yeah. Amen. Amen. when the devil comes to steal it, remind him, you didn't give it to me, and you can't take it away. And I'm just smart enough not to surrender it. I choose to remain in peace. Amen. Bow your heads with me this morning. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, there's no way to live in peace. If you're watching online, there's no way to live in peace if you don't know Jesus. Well, why? Because the only thing you have to rely on is your circumstances and your emotions. You have no stability. You have no promise from God. Well, I read the Bible once. That's good. But the Bible only works for the citizens of heaven. Well, I thought God loved everyone. God loves everybody. You know, Christmas is coming. Very excited about it. Amen. So here you are as a mom and a dad. You bought Christmas presents for your kids. And all of a sudden on Christmas morning, your neighbor's children run in and grab all the gifts you bought your own kids. And you say, ho, 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 what? Not ho, 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 what? These aren't your gifts. Your gifts are at your house. Oh. See, if you're not a child of God, you can't have these gifts. They're part for the family. You got your own gifts, and he's a bad gift giver. The devil's not a nice guy. See, if you don't know Jesus, it's not about joining a church. It's not about joining a religion. It's about knowing the God that created the heavens and the earth, who loves you desperately. Today, if you do not know Jesus and you want to get right with God, you want Christ to be the Lord of your life, you want to be able to come over for Christmas, say amen. You want to live in the peace that passes all understanding. If that's what you desire, I want you to raise your hand up this morning. I want to lead you to the best friend you're ever going to have. He's an awesome God. Is there anyone in the room this morning? Not going to wait long. 5, 4, get your hand up. 3, and 1. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. I want us all to pray for all the folks this morning that are facing termination this week. That's real. Let's pray that they remain strong to their convictions. Whether you're vaxxed or unvaxxed, we will never allow prejudice in this church. You are not better or worse if you're vaxxed or unvaxxed. Had one man say to me, I'm leaving the church. I said, why? He says, because you didn't tell everybody it was evil. Had another people, I'm leaving the church because you didn't tell the unvaxxed that it was important to get it. Listen, it's not in the Bible. I'm not going to preach it. I'm preaching the Bible. And I will tell you, prejudice is never allowed. We honor each other in the choices that we make. Amen. Father, we right now stand in the gap for all the brothers and sisters, Lord, not only here, but online and all across, Lord, the campuses, that, Father, are having to make a decision of vaccination or losing their position. God, we know that as they are tithers and seeders, that you'll take care of them. I pray that you'll undergird them, that angels, you'll go and minister to them, that, Lord Jesus, you will keep them in peace, perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you. God, we stand and we declare that we will love them and support them in their decision. God, we pray for the healthcare system that is going to see a major rocking this week. Lord, in the nursing homes that are gonna suffer. God, we pray for wisdom, Lord, from our officials in Jesus' name. God, you told us to pray for our officials. We pray for our officials. We pray for wisdom, God. And Lord, I pray, God, that instead of, Lord, destroying the systems that are trying to make people healthy and whole, that God, they will have a mind, the mind of God. Jesus, we ask it in your name. Lord, we thank you that this week you're going to use us to stabilize people. They're going to see our faith. They're going to see our peace. And they're going to ask for prayer, and we're going to be able to give it to them because you are alive inside of us. We are your body, your church, your salt, your light. and we choose to be bright this week for the glory of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Next week, my son, we are starting a brand new series, and it's called Fortified. You don't want to miss it. It's a four-week series. It is going to really encourage, strengthen, and fortify you. Bring a guest next week. If you didn't raise your hand, but you want to get right with God, Mindy is right here. If you're online right now, you can dial 97000. Type in, I am saved. Someone's going to get back to you. We want to make sure that you serve Jesus all the rest of your life. Enjoy God. Enjoy your walk with Christ.